ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
We have to get close to people. We have to touch their lives. We need to guide them. You know, Ray Stedman put it like this. He said, "Hidden in that verse is another one of those profound psychological insights so frequently found in Scripture, which says that the way you treat people depends on you on how you see them. Paul is suggesting that if Timothy sees every older man in the congregation as a father, then he will treat him with a natural reverence and respect. How you look at other people is very important. In the world, almost everyone falls into the category of a rival who is trying to get the best of one, or a friend whom one can use to get ahead. As Christians, however, we are to have a very different view of other people. Paul tells this young pastor to look at older men as he would look at his own father, to view them as men with some degree of experience, men who have survived crises in their lives, men who have developed a certain degree of understanding and wisdom by virtue of being young a long time. Further, Paul tells Timothy to view young men as though they were his brothers. Again, this reminds Timothy that there is a family relationship involved. Young men are not rivals, his enemies, they are his brothers. That relationship speaks of openness and honesty with one another, and yet respect and concern for each other. When a young man sees other young men as brothers, he will treat them as such. Yeah. Why is there such a struggle today in this area? Well, Jesus said in Matthew 24 that the love of many has grown cold. And that's so true. You know, Paul, talking about the days we're living in 2 Timothy chapter 3, gives us an understanding of all these things that are going to be going on. And it stems from one point, and I've talked about this before, but I mean, this is from the Amplified Bible I'm going to read from here, 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5. It said, "But understand this, that in the last days will come, set in perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear, for people will be lovers of self and utterly self-centered." Well, isn't that true today? You can't even tell a joke today without offending someone. You know, I hate to say this, but I grew up with Don Rickles, if any of you remember Don Rickles. Don Rickles picked on every single person. It didn't matter what color skin you were, what nationality you were, who you were. He picked on you, and everybody laughed. Now, oh, that's all offensive. We can't laugh. I laugh at myself all the time. So does my wife, because I do some really crazy things. But we're so self-centered. He goes on to say, and these, I think, are the characteristics of being self-centered. Lovers of money and aroused by an inordinate, greedy desire for wealth, proud and arrogant and contemptuous boasters. They will be abusive, blasphemous, scoffing, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, and profane. They will be without natural human affection, callous and inhuman, relentless, admitting of no truce or appeasement. They will be slanderers, false accusers, troublemakers, intemperate and loose in morals and conduct, uncontrolled and fierce, haters of good. They will be treacherous, betrayers, rash, and inflated with self-conceit. They will be lovers of sensual pleasures and vain amusements more than and rather than lovers of God. For although they hold a form of true religion, they deny and reject and are strangers to the power of it. Their conduct belies the genuineness of their profession. Avoid all such people. Turn away from them. Those are the days we're living in. And yet there should be this stark contrast between Christians and non-Christians today. You know, have we lost the love for people? Or are we? Is it all about us? You know, the church over the years has done a great disservice to the people who are involved in the church by telling them basically, you can't help others until you help yourself. There's no way. My self will never be satisfied. You will spend a lifetime trying to satisfy self without helping anyone else. You know how you help self? By helping others. And when you reach out to others, it is amazing how your needs are all taken care of. For those that are struggling, even with depression, get out and help people. It changes your whole attitude because you see, wow, there are people that are really, really hurting, even worse than me, and I can help them. I can bless them. Caring for people, helping people, showing that you're interested in them. Even with evangelism today, there are some out there that think, you know, it's almost like, hey, I'm going out to witness, and if someone gets saved when I'm witnessing, it's another belt, another mark on my belt. Are you kidding me? That's not love. Care for them. It's not only witnessing to them and see them coming to know the Lord, then it's training them up. Now you are responsible, Jesus said in Matthew 28, you are responsible to teach them also. That's love. Now, as we move on into verse 2 of 1 Timothy chapter 5, the focus is women and how we're to treat them in the church. And there to be older women are to be treated with respect, like you would show your own mother. It seems so obvious, but Paul had to bring it up back in his day, and we need to hear this too. And when we correct older women, we do so with respect, with the idea of exhortation. And how important it is for older women to share with the younger women, to help them grow in the Lord. The lessons that they've learned through their life as a Christian, they can share and help them. What's interesting today is that older men, older women, pastors, their wives, they are not looked to speak at conferences as much today. Do you know why? Because they're old. Who wants to hear these old guys, these old women? We want the hipster teacher. I've already told you that I'm old because I used the word hipster. But they want, you know, the movie stars, the rock star pastors and their wives to come up and teach them. Can you learn from them? Sure. But look at the knowledge you are just tossing away from these other men and women who have lived out their lives in Christ. I think that's why I love to hear Pastor Chuck as he taught, because he had experienced many things that were maybe future for me, or maybe that I was dealing with now. And yet he went through them and can help me, according to the scriptures, how to deal with those things. But those valuable lessons, don't pass them up. You know, remember Solomon had died. The kingdom was going to go over to his son Rehoboam. And Solomon, he was a great king. He had a lot of issues, though. But he was a good king, and he taxed the people heavily to build up the nation of Israel. And Jeroboam and really the whole congregation of Israel came to Rehoboam and asked, you know, hey, could you just lighten the load a little bit? You put this heavy burden upon us. We'll serve you faithfully, but just ease up a little bit. Your dad really was hard on us. And this is what we're told in 1 Kings 12, verses 6 through 13. Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who stood before his father Solomon while he still lived, and he said, how do you advise me to answer these people? And they spoke to him, saying, if you will be a servant to these people today and serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever. That sounds like very wise counsel, right? And then there's that one word, but. But he rejected the advice which the elders had given him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him, who stood before him. And he said to them, what advice do you give? How should we answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, lighten the yoke which your father put on us? Then the young men who had grown up with him spoke to him, saying, thus you shall speak to this people who have spoken to you, saying, your father made our yoke heavy, but you make it lighter on us. Thus you shall say to them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's waist. And now, whereas my father put a heavy yoke on you, I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scourges. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king had directed, saying, come back to me the third day. And then the king answered the people roughly and rejected the advice which the elders had given him. Can you imagine? The kingdom's divided now. Two kingdoms in the south, the southern kingdom of Judah, Judah and Benjamin, and the other 10 tribes, the northern tribe of Israel. I can understand the young men because, you know, they're kind of fiery, right? Hey, we're not going to sit down and take this. We're going to fight back. You know, you tell them you're going to be stronger than your dad. A lot of boldness there, but it was foolish. Where the older guys were like, hey, you know what? The kingdom's built up now. Look at, we've got the temple. We've got all this stuff here. You need to ease up on them. You can't keep beating them down. But he rejected the wise counsel of the older men. We need to listen to the counsel of older men and women. And for the younger women here, how are we to treat them? Well, as sisters. Not pulling their hair, guys. Don't do that. But love them as sisters. With all purity. What does that mean? Hear me out on this. Don't put yourself in a situation where you are ministering to a young woman and in so doing it deteriorates into a sexual relationship. I never encourage men to counsel minister to young women by themselves because it opens the door for trouble. You can come with the purest of motives, but it can turn the other way. I don't counsel women by myself. I always bring my wife with me. And the reason I do that is because if there's a marriage relationship problem and the woman's coming for counseling, and here I am compassionate, listening to her, and her husband's not, it causes trouble. But if my wife is with me, it changes everything. And my wife is really good at counseling. She doesn't pull any punches. It's years of wisdom. I'm not saying she's old, but we're older than we were when we first came up. Be careful. I encourage men to minister to men, women to women. And if you need to counsel a woman, bring your wife or bring another person with you. Because if you don't, you can give the devil an opportunity to cause you to stumble. Now, again, Ray Stedman put it like this. He said, Paul tells Timothy to treat the older women as mothers. I remember various older women who were like mothers to me as a young man. As a result, I learned to treat them with great respect for the wisdom and love they manifested to me. And you know what? Years ago, when we were in the other building, and you know, like I've told you, you've heard this story, but we had just did all refurnishing of the building. I mean, it was really nice. And we had a concert, I think it was that Friday night or Saturday, and the owner of the building said, Joe, I've got some news for you. You're going to have to get out of the building because the flower gallery wants your spot. What? Unless you can pay, and it was like $2,500 a month because that's what they were going to pay, you're going to have to go. Like, man, we were paying like $700 a month. You know, we could never do that. And so I was like, oh, and I was so down. I'm like, how are we going to do this? We have no money anymore. We just spent it on fixing the whole place up. We have absolutely no money. And so we're there at the concert and, you know, the spiritual person I was moping around and, you know, I was down and Diane was there and she said, how's it going? I said, oh, we're getting kicked out of our building. I don't know what we're going to do. It's just, and I'm, you know, doing my complaining. And Diane looked at me, and you know how Diane, I don't mean to embarrass you, but with her big smile on her face, she goes, I wonder what God's going to do. You know what? It was the simplest thing. I wonder what God is going to do. Did I need to hear that counsel? Absolutely, I did at that moment. Absolutely, I did. It's what I need. It changed my whole attitude. I have to admit, at first, I was really angry with her. How could you say that? What's God going to do? Come on. What's wrong with you? And then it's like God saying, yeah, I'm not done with you. Yeah, the counsel that you can get from people. Treat older women as mothers, Yeah. Treat. Or Paul tells Timothy that a young pastor should treat a young woman as sisters with love, with interest and concern, but certainly without any attempts at sexual involvement, in all purity. You know, again, this is so simple until we have to put it into practice. You know, when you read the Bible, isn't it like, oh, yeah, this just makes sense. This is so easy. And, you know, Lord, just help me to love people. And what happens? God brings like the worst person in the world into your life. Well, God, what are you doing? You said you wanted my love. Go ahead, give it. Not this person. Well, then what person? See, God's always teaching us. He's stretching us. He's helping us to grow. If we want to be more like him, then we have to apply these things to our life. You know, Christianity is not just head knowledge. You have to allow it to sink deep down into your heart to become part of your life. Or it's empty. You know, it's really, we can know all kinds of different things, but if we don't apply them, what's the point? Be gentle, be respectful with the older saints in the body of Christ. Well, as we read on, how to treat older widows. This was a big issue back then, and it needed to be dealt with, and there's some application for us today. So look at verse 3 here. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, where Paul wrote this, honoring widows who are really widows. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. Now she who is really a widow and left alone trusts in God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. But she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. And these things command that they may be blameless. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Do not let a widow under 60 years old be taken into the number, and not unless she has been the wife of one man, well reported for good works. If she has brought up children, if she has lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work. So how to treat older widows? Again, big concern back then, because if their husband died, they didn't have a family to help them out, to care for them, they were in trouble. It was hard for them to get work. How would they survive in that culture? And it's interesting how Paul starts this out. He says, honor widows who are really widows. I find that interesting. And the word honor means to support and sustain. We get our English word honorarium from. So it's supporting them with money, a gift of money to help them. And again, no government programs in those days that took care of the elderly. So they were especially vulnerable. And what would happen or should have happened is that the young members of these families were expected to care for their elderly mothers and grandmothers if they were widows. Now, again, most of the time, especially these older widows, they had nothing. In Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44, we see this played out. Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. And many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in 2 mites, which makes a quadrans. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, "Assuredly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood." She had nothing, absolutely nothing. In Acts chapter 6, we see a problem in the early church regarding the care of widows. In those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there rose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the distribution. I find that interesting. The church is growing. People are coming to Christ. And what does the devil do? Wants to cause division. Wants to cause trouble. No different today. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicolas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. So this was going on in the early church. These widows had some, there were problems. These Hellenist Jews felt that their widows weren't being cared for correctly. So the apostles said, hey, you know what? We need to give ourselves over to prayer and the word of God. You guys pick 12 men. They pick out these Hellenists to oversee this ministry. But here we are when Paul wrote 1 Timothy 30 years down the road, and there's still this problem on how to care for widows. And so Paul's given these guidelines. God provides for the weak, the disadvantaged. In the Old Testament, we see this played out. In Deuteronomy 14, you shall truly tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year. And the stranger and the fatherless and the widow who are within your gates may come and eat and be satisfied, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hand which you do. This was kind of a welfare system or program. You go through your field once, and then those who were widows, the poor, can come in and they can glean from the fields what all that was left over to provide for themselves. It was a good program. But if you took advantage of the less fortunate, God didn't appreciate that. In Malachi 3:5, it says, "And I will come near you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, adulterers, perjurers, against those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans, and against those who turn away an alien because they do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts." Why were they doing these things? Because they didn't fear the Lord. How we behave, how we treat people determines, are we obeying the Lord or disobeying the Lord? And here, Paul understood the heart of God for the less fortunate. He says, yeah, the church can take care of widows who are in the church. And please understand, and I realize that some, you know, don't understand this, but the church is not a welfare program. They're not to give to anyone and everyone who asks for something. We're to help, yes, but there are guidelines for it. How do I know? Well, here Paul just tells us, honor widows who are really widows. Don't let them fool you. Don't let them take advantage of the system. And believe me, over the years, you know, we get a lot of calls from people. And sometimes we help people out. Sometimes I know the scam. I know what they're doing. I told you before, I had a guy, he had come to the church on a Thursday night with his wife. And I don't know if it was his wife or not, but that's what he said. And he said he needed some steel-toed shoes for work. And I knew that story was going around because I had heard it before. So I told him, I'd be more than happy to go to Walmart. We'll get some steel-toed shoes. He didn't really want to do that, but he told everyone his story. And people were so gracious to give to him. And bless your hearts, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. You gave out of a pure heart. And, that was the last time we saw him. And then about a year or so later, I get a phone call. And it's from this guy. And he comes by. And I said, I'll meet you at the church. It was Thursday. I said, I come early on Thursdays. Just stop by the church. We'll talk. And he said that he needed to go to Mayo Clinic because he had this pacemaker defibrillator put in, and he needed to get it checked, and he needed gas money to get up there. Okay, that's great. And he said, and he always wanted to show me this device. So he said, let me have your finger. I'll show you. And he had this little knot here in his chest. He said, can you feel it? That's it. I said, oh, that's interesting. I said, you know, can I see the scar where they put the pacemaker in? Just open up your shirt a little bit more. I said, well, there's no scar. How in the world did they put a pacemaker in your chest without opening the skin? That's a miracle. I said, I've been a critical care nurse for 30 years. I know that this isn't happening. Well, then he just walked away. God does that sometimes with me. He gives me the wisdom. That was pretty obvious. And what to do. So here, these widows who are really widows. You know,
Paul talks about, it's the family's responsibility, first of all, to care for them. And that's important. But even back in Jesus' day, they didn't want to do it. They had excuses. How do I know? Because Jesus tells us, Matthew tells us in Matthew 15, verses 3 through 6. He said, He, Jesus, answered and said to them, Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.